Today's readings are from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 3, and Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. The year of the Lord's favour. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of the vengeance for our King, for our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide all those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. And afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, if you don't know me, I'm Carol, one of the leaders here, and it's really great this morning to have you here. And it's a big day for me in lots of ways, as Barry said. So this year, 13 years ago, can't believe it, I became a mum for the first time, which is a bit weird. I'm a very proud mum of Isabel, 13 today. And equally important, we're looking at our foundation series, What Christianity Is. And this is the first 3 weeks of teaching of the Holy Spirit. And that too, actually, for me, is sort of a big personal testimony in a way, because I used to long for that, really. I didn't always have experiences of the Holy Spirit. I used to long for it, but that I'm here standing talking about it is, you know, that's important for me. Amazing privilege. At churches I went to, I suppose, I found it hard to find teaching on the Holy Spirit. And I suppose I also probably had preconceived ideas and worries, and God took a while to get me over them. And one of them sounds silly, but though I really wanted the stuff in Acts, you know, all the miracles and everything, though I wanted that, it also used to worry me that somehow, I suppose, this Holy Spirit power would sort of like get hold of me and bundle me onto this sort of spiritual bus, if you like, and carry me off to some weird la-la land with all the people I was most freaked out by, okay? So that was just one worry I had, with no personal space and too many tissues. And so, yeah, I didn't want that. And that was, I suppose, a bit of an obstacle for me. But really, opening our mind to the Holy Spirit is always a journey to Jesus. Okay, it's always a journey to Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, glorify Jesus. So we're on safe ground. And another thing, I suppose, some of you might be a bit freaked out, you know, those old-fashioned words, isn't it? The Holy Ghost. That sounds like really creepy, like something off Scooby-Doo or something. So that's just a bit weird, isn't it? And I don't know, the Holy Spirit, though, is not supernatural evil, is he? He's supernatural good. And we do need the supernatural, don't we? We do need the supernatural. One woman apparently said to her new vicar, "Now, vicar, remember, we don't want anything supernatural happening in this church." But we might be wary. And especially, I think, I was trying to think about this, especially if we're not sure why we really need the Holy Spirit, you know? You might say, and I'm trying to think if people have or not, but anyway, you might say, "Look, Carol, I know the Holy Spirit was involved in me becoming a Christian. I know he's there working in the background. But look, I've got the basic sort of fixed price menu thing. You know, why do I need the a la carte? You know, I don't want to speak in tongues. I don't want to heal people. Why do I need him?" And I understand that too. I understand that. A lot of us Brits have got that mentality, haven't we, about life generally, you know? When I grew up, my parents, I suppose, you know, we had the basic range stuff before that was even invented. We grew up on that. And we never went to restaurants, in part because we didn't have a lot of money. But actually, I think my parents just felt it was a bit too indulgent, you know? it wasn't them. There was a bit of a fear there, not confidence. Anyway, we can get like that with our faith, I was thinking. We imagine that there is a basic fixed price option for Christianity. You know, and the Holy Spirit is just a bit of an extra for the super spiritual. But Jesus has bought us at a price, hasn't he? And that he has more good things for us, and if we'll keep following his call and being obedient to him. John 20:22 says, receive the Holy Spirit. And are you up for that? We have to think, are we actually up for that? He commanded it. Are we up for it? Will we obey him in that? And anyway, come on, this is a bit of a trailer for next week, actually. Oh, got it up already. Okay. This is a bit of a trailer for next week. But I want to make this clear, I suppose. Why might we need more of the Holy Spirit than we already have? Okay, we might have attachment issues, you know? Say, like, adopted children. They have attachment issues for their new family, don't they? You know, it takes a while for them to trust their new father, and we might be like that. We might not feel close to him. Romans 8:2, the Holy Spirit helps set us free from our past life and, like, reboot us, I suppose. 2, we might be keen to get to know God better. That might be you. You might really want to get to know God better. Ephesians 1:17, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom and understanding to know God better. I can say amen to that. You know, sometimes I have had understanding and thoughts about things and I think, there's no way that is me. There's no way. That is just from the Holy Spirit. That's great. Or 3, we might be desperate to look more like a Christian. Is that you? You just want to look more like a Christian. You know, we want to break these bad habits in our lives. Yeah, things we do and we just think, oh, I'm not a Christian. Or our marriages, you know, we long to see transformation. We want to look more like a Christian. That's fine. The Holy Spirit helps with that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he brings the family likeness to us so we actually look like God. 4, we might be struggling to enjoy church. It's a good one. Are you struggling to enjoy church? Well, the Holy Spirit can help with that. You know, he longs to bring unity to all of us. It was great this morning, the music there and the voices. And oh, it's really beautiful, wasn't it? All that harmony, beauty, that unity. Another one, number 5. Maybe we feel we've not got anything to offer this church. And again, the Holy Spirit can help with that. He gives us gifts to serve in his church. 1 Corinthians 12. Or number 6, we might feel we're rubbish at evangelism. I know that's me a lot of the time, just feel rubbish at evangelism. Well, the Holy Spirit, we need him for that. You know, he gives us that boldness and that courage to actually share the gospel. And we can take, if you like, it's like we take the product with us. So, okay, the Holy Spirit might help us, that's fine, okay? We're consumer culture, all the rest of it. He helps us, he's good for us, that's fine. But there's a bigger reality too here. Another reason. Our world, Britain, wants to know where God is. Where is he, you know? Where is he? And I find, I suppose, you know, chatting to people, I find people are patient. They are open, you know, to seeing, well, show us God then. Where is he? But the church, and I include myself in this, we've been pretty weak on this, haven't we, really? And, I don't know, really quiet, really shy. And our world just needs to know, well, where is God then? Show him to us. And we love the Bible. We find God there. And in there, Jesus tells us to tell others. But if you're anything like me, you know, sometimes it can feel a bit of a hard sell. We describe God to people. We say how he's helped us. But we want to show God to them, don't we? We really want to show God to them. And sometimes it might be a bit like feeling we're pitching the product without actually having it with us ourselves. Now I've got a clip for you here. I think you might like this. I've got a clip. Let's see the sound up. This is
on
The Apprentice.
Way, to Lord Sugar's appointment, the chutney team cook up a pitch. Without a product.
How are we going to make them, given that we have never tasted this product?
Because it's going to be so gorgeous.
How does it taste in the mouth?
It's the citrusy.
Comparison words. Because citrusy, yeah?
Sweet, citrusy,
I reckon.
Sweet burst of ginger, rustic but revolutionary.
Good evening.
Conjuring up non-existent infusion, business development manager Jade.
Obviously, chutney lovers are very much into it with their cheese and their crackers. I know there's a wide range. And just made in really fresh ingredients straight here and just trying to make it as fresh as possible, which I think is in line with all of your products.
Unfortunately, and we're not actually able to give you any of our chutney to taste today.
Well, I have to say, this is probably the first time in history that somebody has turned up to try and sell us a product without the product.
Yeah.
But until we taste it, it's very hard to take any decisions.
Our sincere apologies for not actually bringing the product today. We are obviously embarrassed about the fact as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was very embarrassing pitching without a product. I thought, you know, Dwayne and myself should be able to turn this losing team around, but we just haven't. It's not happening. So it's very frustrating. It's total shambles. It's fallen apart. No idea what's going on at the factory, but it doesn't sound great.
Now, you then had a kind of a business model of selling some to the trade and some to the public. And I lined up the high-class delicatessen for you to go and talk to, yeah?
Yeah?
And apparently I'm hearing here, you went to the person without a product.
We did, unfortunately.
And you said you tried to describe to him that you've got a chutney and please buy it off of me.
And unfortunately the product hadn't arrived in time and we found
I've
out...
I've got that bit.
Yeah.
Did you take an empty bottle there or something with
we
your
didn't.
Label or anything?
No.
Okay, that's great, isn't it? Classic looks from Nick there as well. Just love them. And I don't really want to overanalyze that necessarily, but it really helps if we have God with us, doesn't it? And his Holy Spirit is God's presence. That is God with us. And if we've tasted what God's presence is like, we know that power, then we can actually show people, show others how good he is. And the silly thing is we do have it. You know, we just sort of, I don't know, we've just forgotten about it or kept it in a bag under the table. We've forgotten about it. And I try and always remember to pray with people if I can, just to allow God to do his work. Anyway, right, as we hit the Bible proper now then, I hope we all really see why we need the Holy Spirit, okay? So I hope we've got that out of the way. We're going to have a bit of time travel through the Bible now. There's five brief parts. And first one, Genesis 1. He was involved in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was wanting to bring new things. He brought order out of chaos. And out of confusion, he brought harmony. Out of deformity, he brings beauty. And out of oldness, he brings newness. And maybe in your life, you know, maybe there's chaos and brokenness in your life. If it's anything like my life, then yeah, there is. But the Holy Spirit can change that. And maybe just think now, just in your mind, just think of the one area in your life. And that area where there's brokenness, the Holy Spirit can bring order to that. He can bring harmony to that, even though you might think beyond hope. He can bring even beauty out of that, out of how he will transform that situation. He can bring new things out of that chaos because he loves doing it. And that's his job. He just loves that. That's what he's good at. And at St. James, you know, the Holy Spirit can bring new things here and new life. And it's just great, all the diversity of nationalities, cultures, languages. It's brilliant. And the Holy Spirit can bring more of that. And we can all be in harmony. If we're all looking to Jesus, then we're all in harmony, going one way on our journey with the Holy Spirit to Jesus. And it's sort of like an orchestra, isn't it? If you imagine an orchestra with Jesus as the conductor, and if all of us are like playing our part and just keep looking at Jesus through the Holy Spirit, then there's amazing harmony in that, isn't there? Amazing beauty in those sounds. Genesis 2 verse 7, also the Holy Spirit brings life to human beings. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Hebrew word there is ruah, and it's very similar for spirit and breath. Ruah can mean breath or spirit. And John 20:22, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that same picture running through the Bible there. And in people's lives, you've probably seen this, you know, sometimes there's like a deadness in people's eyes even. It's just sort of dead. And when the Holy Spirit comes and fills them with life, they just spring to life. Almost a physical expression, it really is, when you just see someone filled with the Holy Spirit living God's way. And with churches too, we'll have all been in dry, dusty churches, you know. just dead, just really dead and dry and boring. But the Spirit can come even into those churches and bring life. And I've noticed, you know, people pray in a different way. I've noticed this on my journey. People pray in a different way. They pray as if Jesus is really physically next to them. And it changes the way they pray. And they pray like they really believe things will change. Okay? And the Holy Spirit, I guess, as well, means it's never boring. Because it's like just direct live feed to God, you know? So where the Holy Spirit is, it's never boring because he's engaging people in God. Right? Oops, back one. Okay, second point. The Holy Spirit came on particular people, particular times, for particular tasks. And this is in the Old Testament, I guess. We've got just a few examples of this. There's a guy with a great name, Bezalel. And Exodus 31:5, God filled him with all kinds of skill, well, with the Spirit of God, for skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs. I love this verse, artistic designs, to work in wood and metal, you know. That's really exciting, the Spirit can do that. And then on Gideon, for leadership, the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. He was just sort of jelly-legged coward, but God had a great task for him. And it says the Spirit of God came on Gideon, and that's what turned him into a great leader. Also, the Spirit of God came on Isaiah. Also, Samson as well. We've got Samson there, first two, for power and strength. Next slide. The Spirit of the Lord came on him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and his bindings dropped from his hands. Now, Samson, he could kill a lion with his bare hands, if you remember from the children's Sunday school stories. He was bound physically. When the Spirit came upon him, he had this supernatural strength, really cool superhero of the Bible. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us that same power to break free from things that hold us captive, okay? Maybe addictions, things, you know, I just can't give this up. I can't give this up. Holy Spirit can help us in that. It could be just a bad temper or envy, as well as drugs or alcohol, stuff like that. Sometimes it's instant, or sometimes it can be lifelong. And the Spirit, I've got a story on this as well. I guess overall I've been driven to the Holy Spirit as I've needed him in my life. And there was one time a couple of years ago, and I just had this thing which just totally overwhelmed me, okay, this problem, this issue. And I was totally alone in this for particular reasons. No one else could understand this. And I literally had nowhere else to go. I just didn't really have any hope. It just totally consumed me. And I was going away to a new wine leader's wise weekend, actually, and I was just desperate for someone to pray with me because literally I had nowhere else to go. I'd never felt so alone in my life, and it was actually scary because it's just weird, totally new thing. And I was just desperate for that time when they offered to pray with you. A kind lady said she would, and I explained the situation. And then in my mind, I just had this image of the problem, and it was, as she was praying, it was just shrinking. It was really weird, just, you know, just this image was so real, so vivid, and it was just shrinking in size. And yeah, that is the most supernatural experience I've ever had, actually, or one of them. But really dramatic. And after that, it stayed small, this picture. And it stayed small ever since. Okay, last person in the Old Testament. Isaiah here had this read to us. Wonderful words, I love this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And if you've heard those words before somewhere else in the Bible, yeah? Yeah, anyone know? Yeah, it's when Jesus picked up these words as his job description, basically. And he read them out. And actually, they're for us too. And that's why I got your little fridge magnet as you came on the way in with these words on. Wave it around, anyone. Okay, so I got you these words because these are our job description. We can pick them up too. And I want you to sort of stick them on your heart, really. That's what I want you to do, stick them on your heart. But anyway, stick them on your fridge too. It will be nearly as good. But let's just try it out because this is a life changer, and it's a life changer for me, really. Let's try it out. Let's just read together the first two, up to prisoners, I think. We'll read up to prisoners. Let's read it out together. Try it out for fit because it really does change everything in your mind. So let's try it out. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoners. Thanks. Okay, we'll leave it there for now, but pray it through yourself. It's amazing. It changes your life. Okay, live this every day. And the interesting thing in the Old Testament then, as we come, is that every time the Holy Spirit comes on someone, something changes, something happens, okay? Now, number three, he was promised by the Father, the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. The law was good. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. You know, that was all good. And if everyone did it, then society would be a better place. And that seems to be the conclusion of every radio phone-in, isn't it? You know, if everyone did this stuff, society would be a better place. But what happens is that actually everyone doesn't manage to live like they should, so society isn't a better place. And though the law was a blessing because it showed who God was, actually it was a burden because they couldn't live it. And God says, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to change their hearts so they want to do it. Bit like different attitudes to jobs, really, you know. You have jobs you hate. Have you had any of those? Those awful summer jobs? I had one picking strawberries off conveyor belts, just looking for the bad ones, for 6 weeks, okay, in a factory. And that took perseverance, really, just to stick it out. It was really hard. But when you've got a job you love, the rules, I don't know, they just fade into the background. You know, you're keeping them. Yeah, that's fine, you're keeping them. But you love the job, so it's easy. That's a bit like the same with God. Ezekiel 36:26, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Soft hearts. Anyone heard of Jackie Pullinger? Yeah. So she was working in, I think, is it the Walled City in Hong Kong with drug addicts, ministering there. And really tough time. She went there when she was 21. But when she speaks, apparently, she always says, God wants to give us soft hearts and hard feet. And she said, the trouble with most of us is we have hard hearts and soft feet. And with soft hearts, she meant a heart of compassion, God's heart of love, and hard feet to go anywhere, to do anything where he calls us. And I think, you know, when you see her ministering to drug addicts, apparently just, you know, her expression, her love is just really genuine. Okay, so to whom does this promise apply? Who can have God's Spirit in them? Is it just for priests? Is it just for guys with a big name and lots of bling who sort of want to do God's work? Is it for just people on the God's channel? Is it just for Jackie Pullinger? No. Joel 2:28, this is what God says. Let's see if we got this one. Okay, Joel 2, anyway. For afterwards I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. It's regardless of what sex you are. Your old men will dream dreams and young men will have visions. Even on my servants, men and women. It's our quality statement here. Loads of that in the Bible. It's for everyone, on all people. The promise of God in the Old Testament remained unfulfilled, though, for hundreds of years. The people were waiting. They were waiting for this stuff. And then, with the birth of Jesus, it's like a trumpet sounds. And everyone connected with God gets filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a busy time. And Luke 1:15. Here we've got some of the verses. I'm not going to read them all out. But, you know, Jesus' cousin, his mum, his uncle, his aunt, they all get filled with the Holy Spirit. Fourth point, John the Baptist links him with Jesus. Sorry, should be number four there. Luke 3:16. John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And baptism with water is, you know, is important, but the Holy Spirit as well. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit there. In the secular Greek, the word baptize meant to overwhelm. And when a ship sunk, that was the word often used, to overwhelm the ship. So the water just poured in all through it and everywhere. And that's what he wants to do with us, I guess. Just fill us, just overwhelm us with God's Holy Spirit. And sometimes I can get, I don't know about you, you know, like when you have a dry sponge, if you ever had this in your bathroom, one left lying around, and you try and sort of put it under the tap, and the water just comes off, yeah? But when you actually sort of put it right under the water, then it can hold water. But before that, it's just like a bit hard and crusty and everything. And I suppose I can get like that in my life, you know. God can't use me. Can't use me. And we need the Holy Spirit to completely fill us. And Jesus himself was completely full of the Holy Spirit. Got some of the verses on screen somewhere. Yeah, there we go. He descended on Jesus like a dove. Jesus full of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then on the last and most important day of one of the festivals, in a packed public space, just like maybe imagine at Arsenal or something, you know, packed public space, one person, Jesus gets up and he shouts. Shouting in public, this one guy. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water pouring out of him. And by this he meant the Spirit, which those who believe were later to receive it so. Up to this time, the Spirit hadn't come. Jesus hadn't been glorified. And then at the end of John's Gospel as well, Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Promise there, promise of the Father. But stay in the city till you've been clothed with power from on high. And then Jesus ascended and still the promise hadn't come. Still people were waiting. You know, in that upper room, they had to wait quite a while. 10 days they waited. And all the time there's sort of this rising sense of anticipation. Will it really come? Will Jesus really give us this superpower thing he talked about? Can he really do it? And eventually, chapter 2, verse 2, it's like the cork flies off the bottle, really. Acts 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw like tongues of fire on all of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And people's reactions were mixed. Probably got a mix of reactions here this morning. People's reactions were mixed. Some said, this is wonderful, verse 7. Others were amazed and perplexed. And they thought, wow, this is amazing, but it's a bit weird. And others made fun of them, you know. Oh, they're drunk. They must be drunk. Something amazing was happening. And I suppose people put it into their own ways of trying to understand this thing that doesn't normally happen. And Peter then gets up. Peter gets up and says, let me give you the true explanation. Let me explain this to you. These people, he says, these people are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is the promise. This is biblical. This is what was promised in the Old Testament. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. And then he says something even more amazing, verse 37, this is for you. This is for you. For me, for you. This is for us. This is really exciting. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is for you, every one of you, and your children, not just those standing there, but the next generation, it says, and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. And it's for me and you and you and you and you. Because we now live in the age of the Spirit, don't we? And that's it. And let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this extraordinary privilege we have of living in the age of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all people. And Lord, we pray that you would help us better understand what this means for each one of us in our lives. I'm sorry where we've got distracted from your call, maybe closed our mind to the hope of your power changing our lives and limited our hope for your power to change other people's lives. Forgive us. And we have faith to receive your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.